From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief for July 12th. Mason, July 12th. Markets Desk. Five stories. Watch the tape. Ignore the noise. Let's get into it. First, from Fast Company. Companies keep talking about the motherhood penalty. They're missing the motherhood advantage. You know, I've been reading this article, and it really got me thinking about how we view motherhood in the workplace. The author argues that there's this thing called the motherhood penalty, where mothers are seen as less committed and less ambitious after having kids. But what if I told you there's also a motherhood advantage? That's right. Research shows that motherhood can actually develop professional capacities that workplaces often fail to recognize. For example, a study found that parents, especially mothers, are more likely to see work as connected to what they want to model for their families, like responsibility and values. This sense of purpose is linked to greater work effort and organizational citizenship behavior. And it's not just about being more committed, but also about being more effective leaders. A study found that parents transfer the caring and emotional support behaviors they build with their children into more supportive leadership at work. Now, I know that family responsibilities can create real constraints, and we shouldn't romanticize those constraints. But what if we could see them as opportunities for growth and development? The author suggests that companies need to build baseline supports for parents, like paid leave, flexible work, and childcare support. And they need to treat the transition into and through working parenthood as a leadership transition, not just a logistical disruption. It's time for us to rethink how we view motherhood in the workplace and start recognizing the value that mothers bring to the table. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Bitcoin. Link in show notes. Next. Second, from Fast Company. The new rules of leadership start with emotional intelligence. Leaders are feeling the pressure from rapid workplace shifts, stress, hybrid setups, and a demand for genuine transparency. Technical authority alone isn't enough. Teams now look for leaders who can build trust through self-awareness and authentic vulnerability. Empathy tops the list. People want to be seen, heard, and respected. When a manager shows up next. Third, from the Daily Upside. Major League Soccer snatches victory from World Cup despite U.S. team's loss. The U.S. World Cup viewership numbers are in, and they're a record breaker. 42 million people tuned in to watch the U.S. team's 4-1 loss to Belgium on Monday, making it the most viewed soccer telecast in U.S. history. That's a combined total of 42 million viewers, with 30 million watching on Fox and 12 million on Telemundo. To put that in perspective, it's more than the number of people who watched the New York Knicks win the NBA Finals last month. The success of this year's World Cup is also good news for Major League Soccer, MLS. The league's viewership was already on the rise, with a 62% year-over-year increase in the first 3 months of its 2026 season, and with 45 players from MLS teams rostered for their home countries in the World Cup. The league is getting a month of high-profile global publicity for its top talent. This could put MLS in a favorable position when it negotiates future broadcasting deals, which could be worth up to $2 billion per tournament. The World Cup's success is also attracting attention from investors. U.S. investors have been piling into ownership stakes in soccer teams around the world, and MLS is starting to look like a more attractive option. The league's average club valuation has risen 39% since 2021 to $767 million this year, and five clubs are now valued at over $1 billion. While there are still challenges to consider, including profitability and growth, the potential for MLS investors is significant. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Bitcoin. Link in show notes. And then, fourth, from Cassandra Unchained, abridged version. Fannie, Freddie, Trump, and the housing crisis. So $3.4 billion in net income for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in the first quarter. That's the number that matters. The context is that investors are still waiting to see what happens with the senior preferred stock liquidation preference, which is basically a claim the US government has on the company's profits. The thing is, people think Fannie and Freddie are sending profits back to the government, but that's not really happening. The money is just building up as part of this liquidation preference. The outcome of this is going to be huge for the company's stocks. If the government decides it still has a claim on those profits, the stocks will likely plummet. But if the government decides it's been paid back, the stocks could rise significantly. We're talking 3 to 4 times their current value, maybe even 6 to 7 times in the long run. There's a deadline looming for a report on the national housing finance markets, which is due around July 11th. Some people think this report might recommend reducing the capital reserves that Fannie and Freddie have to hold, which could be a big deal for the companies and their investors. And with the presidential election coming up, it's likely that Trump will be taking a closer look at Fannie and Freddie, and maybe even trying to make some changes before he leaves office. The warrants for Fannie and Freddie expire in September 2028. So I'm expecting something to happen before then. Next. Fifth, from the Daily Upside. Major League Soccer snatches victory from World Cup, despite US team's loss. The World Cup has given backers who campaigned to hold it in the US just what they wanted. Spectators in the world's largest economy, where soccer takes a back seat to gridiron football, are showing up. While the US team's 4-1 loss to Belgium on Monday was shrouded in political controversy and ended in a one-sided drubbing, it was the most viewed soccer telecast in US history. Preliminary figures from Fox, which holds the English language broadcasting rights to the World Cup in the US, show 30 million viewers tuned in. Another 12 million watched the Spanish language broadcast on Comcast's Telemundo network and Peacock streaming service. That combined total viewership of 42 million obliterated the previous record, which the US soccer team set just days earlier when 36 million people in the US watched it beat Bosnia and Herzegovina. It also meant the US national team drew more viewers than the New York Knicks' title-clinching win in Game 5 of the NBA Finals last month and the deciding Game 7 of last year's World Series between the champion Los Angeles Dodgers and the Toronto Blue Jays. We're seeing numbers for some of these matches that we don't see for anything but the NFL. Michael Mulvihill, president of Insight and Analytics at Fox Sports, told Variety. He added that, while US matches out-delivered expectations, the more surprising development at this World Cup has been millions of US viewers tuning into games without marquee stars or top nations. A Scotland-Haiti game, which was pitted against the NBA Finals, drew 6 million US viewers for Fox, and a game between Uruguay, population 3.5 million, and Cabo Verde, population 500,000, drew 6.2 million. In other words, while fevered support of the US men's team was real, so is a broader excitement about the sport of soccer itself. That's underscored by the fact that the US team is not the only one that broke records in America. Telemundo said that its broadcast of Mexico's loss to England on Sunday drew over 23 million US viewers, making it the most watched Spanish-language soccer broadcast in US history. It also highlights the multicultural appeal of the most global sport in a melting pot nation. Naturally, broadcasting executives have watched these ratings wearing novelty dollar sign sunglasses, or so we'd like to imagine. In any case, the success of this year's World Cup for Fox means the network will almost certainly have to fend off a host of challengers who want future tournaments on their airwaves. Already, ESPN owner Disney, Alphabet's YouTube, and streaming giant Netflix are considering taking on Fox for the right to the 2030 and 2034 World Cups, CNBC reported last week. Executives are committed to spending $1.5 billion to $2 billion for U.S. broadcasting rights per tournament, the network said, which would far exceed the $485 million Fox paid for English-language U.S. broadcast rights and the $600 million Telemundo paid for Spanish-language U.S. rights. And that's just the World Cup. When the U.S. last hosted the tournament in 1994, the country pledged in advance to FIFA, soccer's global governing body, that it would start a competitive domestic league to replace the North American Soccer League, which collapsed in 1985. That's how Major League Soccer, MLS, was born, albeit 2 years late in 1996, because launching a nationwide sports league is a complex logistical nightmare. What started with 10 teams is now 30. Thanks to some fortuitous timing, MLS may be able to swing its own improved rights deal off the World Cup's success. Last year, Apple and MLS agreed to cut short a decade-long $2.5 billion deal to broadcast every game on the Apple TV streaming service. Instead of ending in 2032, it will now finish 3 years early in 2029. Deals with Fox Sports and televisor Univision to show select MLS games on traditional TV are also slated to end later this year. That leaves MLS with the opportunity to negotiate on a high point. On top of the stellar World Cup ratings, its own viewership was on a tear leading up to the tournament. MLS reported a 62% year-over-year increase in viewership in the first 3 months of its 2026 season, averaging 7.9 million live match viewers per week on streaming and TV broadcasts. Up next, sixth, from Zero Hedge, next-gen ramjet fuel propulsion system for future offensive, defensive missions tested. L3 Harris just completed its first full-scale ground test of a new solid-fuel ramjet grain, showing propulsion levels that match what engineers expect for flight. The test proved the fuel can cut costs dramatically versus older ramjet fuels, ticking the Department of Defense's box for cheaper, longer-range missiles. Engineers ran the system in a flight representative setup, gathering data that will feed into the next tactical missile demo. The company says this disciplined step reduces risk and speeds up the path to scalable production. More ground runs are slated before they move to an actual flight test. And then, seventh, from Zero Hedge, which states produce the most food in America? California pulled in $67.4 billion in 202 next. Eighth, from Zero Hedge, the economics of the surveillance state. 100 cameras now line every major road, scanning plates nonstop and feeding a national database that police can tap for everything, from traffic stops to personal grudges. Ring doorbells have become de facto surveillance hubs, handing over footage to investigators without owners ever being asked. Laptops and phones aren't any safer. Microsoft's device IDs and Windows screen grab logs let authorities trace a single user across borders, while ISPs already log every site you visit. Modern cars broadcast every brake and route, turning drivers into real-time data feeds that insurers love. All this cheap, relentless data collection fuels a profit-driven surveillance state that feels more like a corporate-run extension of old-school spying. Up next, ninth, from Zero Hedge. Guggenheim AI survey finds adoption surging across large IT enterprises as mass layoff fears fall flat. Hey, I wanted to share some insights from a recent Guggenheim Securities survey. They found that 81% of large enterprise IT professionals have already deployed AI agents, with Anthropic and OpenAI leading the pack. It's worth noting that 42% of employees are actively using AI for about 22% of their workday, resulting in an estimated 18% productivity gain. AI accounts for around 19% of corporate IT budgets, with spending concentrated in software development, data analytics, and IT operations. About half of respondents expect AI to become a separate budget line, while 37% plan to fund it through incremental spending. Interestingly, the survey also touched on token cost concerns. On average, respondents anticipate a positive impact on their company's operating margin, but there's a concern that token costs might outweigh realized benefits. This is a live issue for around 60% of enterprise customers, with one company receiving its first AI invoice and hearing leadership respond, "We don't have the money for this." In terms of headcount, respondents reported an average 2.5% reduction tied to AI, which is far from the mass layoff forecasts that dominated headlines earlier this year. It seems AI is improving productivity and easing labor constraints, but it's not triggering mass layoffs just yet. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Ethereum. Link in show notes. And then, 10th, from Zero Hedge. Congressman outraged after brief detention by gun-wielding Israeli settlers in West Bank visit. 18% of the occupied West Bank is now under illegal settler outposts, a jump that's reshaping daily life there. In the middle of that shift, Rep. Ro Khanna and his team were stopped for over an hour by settlers brandishing American-made M4 rifles near Kirbat Zanuta, then handed back to the Israeli army, which stayed on the settlers' side. The incident surfaces as democratic support for Israel has slid from 59% in 2018 to just 22% this May, fueling intra-party tension ahead of the 2026 midterms. Meanwhile, the first quarter of 2026 logged more than 540 settler attacks and a record 925 movement obstacles, underscoring the accelerating pressure on Palestinian communities. That's the read. Watch the tape, ignore the noise. Back tomorrow.